At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pod of thunder and rock and roll. Get ready for Rudolph Schenker of the Scorpions. They flew me to Vegas last weekend to do this interview and check out the Blacked Out in Vegas with Queensryche opening. But first, I made such a cool dinner the other night. I got to tell you about it. Let me say, I'm loving Plated.com, and my family is as well. Plated.com sends you everything you need to cook great tasting fresh meals right at home. And right now, Plated is offering a free dinner for two in your first box. Just go to Plated.com/Jericho to get started. Plated lets you choose delicious, innovative recipes, then delivers fresh, seasonal ingredientes to your door on the day you choose. Check it out. This week I made Hawaiian-style chicken fajitas with caramelized pineapple, and it tastes just as good as it sounds. And Plated.com shipped all the ingredients to my house, so I just walked in and got to work. They sent me the boneless, skinless chicken breasts, the pineapple and pineapple juice, the tortilla, fresh mint, soy sauce, and ginger, all the fresh ingredients I needed. They also included a step-by-step recipe card with pictures. Plated.com makes it so easy to serve fresh, nutritious meals. And here's the other great thing about Plated.com. You can skip weeks and you can cancel anytime. So create chef-designed dinners at home with Plated. Go to Plated.com/Jericho now to get started with your trial and claim a free dinner for two with your first box. That's a free dinner for two in your first box. Go to Plated.com/Jericho for terms and details. Plated.com/Jericho. Eat like a king, baby. All right, the Scorpions are rocking Las Vegas. They're doing the Blacked Out in Vegas at the Joint, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Scorpions and Queensryche, former Talk is Jericho guests, are there tonight and again this Friday and Saturday before the Scorpions continue on their 50th anniversary tour. Can you believe it? 50 years of Scorpions. How many bands can say that? You're going to find out how many bands can say that, because Rudolph Schenker is here from the Scorpions, the founder of the Scorpions and one of the greatest rhythm guitar players, one of the biggest characters in rock and roll history, is here on Talk is Jericho. We're going to find all about how he got started in music, where he got his first pair of black leather pants. We're going to talk about the US Festival, showmanship on stage. You know, the Scorpions are at the top of the bill. That is pun intended, by the way. Visiting the Kremlin in Russia and meeting world leaders. That's right. But before we get our rock on with Rudolph, I want to tell you the whole story of my journey to see the Scorpions. But first, I'm here tonight in Greenville, South Carolina at SmackDown. Just did a great promo about the Asylum match that is coming up this Sunday at Extreme Rules. It's going to be a blast. Never seen anything like this before. A structure so barbaric, basically a cage with an extra tier on top of it where we are hanging weapons from it. Barbed wire, 2x4, kendo stick, strap, straitjacket, ceramic pot, mop and bucket, fire extinguisher. It's going to be quite the shall we say, extravaganza. And the thing about it is there's never been an Asylum match before. So it's not like I can go back and watch tapes or go back and figure out, you know, how do I do this sort of thing? Because I don't know how to do this sort of thing because it's never been done before. So the same thing happened back in 2003 with the Elimination Chamber when it was first invented. I'd never seen one before. I had never been in one before, so you really got to wing it and be creative. So I'm really looking forward to doing that this Sunday. The first ever Asylum match, Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho. And watch SmackDown Thursday night to see a really cool preview of what you may or may not see in the Asylum match. All right, like I said, Rudolph Shankar is here from the Scorpions. So what's been going on since Talk is Jericho has really risen to the next level over the last year and a half or so is that I've been getting offers to get flown to concerts to do shows. Some of them I accept, some of them I don't, some of them I can make work, some of them I can't. I believe the first band to ever do that was Queensryche, who coincidentally are opening for the Scorpions in their residency at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. And then Asking Alexandria was like that. And then a few other bands that I couldn't make work, but when I got a call from the Scorpions management, they called my producer Stacy and said they will fly you to Las Vegas first class to do Talk is Jericho. So I was really excited about that. I thought one of my favorite bands of all time, Matthias Jabs from Scorpions, has been on this show in the past. And it just seemed like a perfect, perfect way to see the show because I wanted to check out the Scorps. Always a great live band. And also get a chance to do an interview for this show with Rudolph and also Klaus Meine. Was what I was told. So I flew to Vegas, got in on a Thursday night, and did a great podcast with upcoming podcast with three Canadian buddies of mine with some certain notoriety. And we did a Canadian rock show talking all about prairie life in Canada and Canadian bands. And it was just a blast. And then the next day, I was ready to go see the Scorpions. So I called their tour manager to see what time I was supposed to meet up with the band. And their tour manager said, okay, you will see Rudolph only, and you'll have 15 minutes. Now, you guys know how I do my show. It's a long-form show. I usually like doing an hour minimum, 45 minutes at the least. I've had some shorter interviews. Rob Zombie was quicker than that. Matthias, who I mentioned already, was quicker than that. I believe Adam Carolla was about 40 minutes. Most of the time, I keep it around 45 to an hour, and if it goes longer, then that's the way it goes. But so I told the tour manager, I'm like, well, first of all, it was supposed to be Klaus and Rudolph, but, you know, 15 minutes is very short. And he goes, how long do you need? I said, about an hour. And he's like, oh, no, you'll never get an hour. And that's the same thing that Iron Maiden's management told me when I had Nico McBrain on. They said I could have 20 minutes with him. When we started talking, next thing you know, Nico goes 75 minutes, and it's just a brilliant, great interview. So I'm not worried about the time because I know I can engage my guests. My only thing is I don't want them to do it under duress. And I don't want there to be a time constraint, like if there's a deadline or something like that. So the tour manager told me that the Scorps had a meet and greet at 7:30. So I should show up at about 7. And I'm like, well, that's not long enough. So once again, I called Stacy to tell her what was going on. She called the Scorps publicist and came back and said, well, call the manager of the Scorpions at 6:30. He'll take you in, and then when the band gets there, you guys can lock up and get ready to go. So I was like, okay, well, let's see how that works. So I called the manager at 6:15, always be early, and he said to be at the Hard Rock at 6:30 at the venue, at the joint. And then he would take me inside, and then when the band was ready, we would get started. And he said, you probably have about 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is just, this is great. So I was thinking, well, will I get enough time? Like if we set up at 6:45 and I only have 20 minutes, I know I'll be able to go to 7:30. So I figured if I get there right on time, maybe I can set up. And once we get started, I can roll right through. Well, when I got there, this is the same place where I first tracked Paul Stanley at the joint in Las Vegas. And those guys, when I got there, they brought me straight into the dress room, and there's kind of like a common lounge living room area, very big kind of meet and greet area, and then the various dressing rooms off to the side. So that's what they had me set up so that when Paul got there, I was ready. With the Scorps, the managers had me wait outside in basically the lobby of the venue. So, you know, hey, man, you know my motto, go with the flow. And I understand how rock and roll works. I think even the Scorpions paid money to have me come there. They probably didn't even know for sure or anything about it. Probably it was done by the publicity side. The publicity tells the management. Management tells tour manager. Tour manager tells band. And they say, there's no way we're doing an hour. Give them 15 minutes. So, you know, because they don't know what Talk is Jericho is or maybe not really familiar with it. They might think it's, you know, Larry's bedroom bop. The top living room podcast. I don't really know. So I'm waiting, and finally at 10 to 7, the manager comes and goes, hey, come inside. So I go inside. Actually, it might have been closer to 7, I believe. I go inside to the dressing room. There's a whole bunch of people just kind of staring at me, and I walk straight in over to Rudolf Schenker's private dressing room, go inside, and he's in there. And the thing is I'm not going to say non-hospitable, but the management, everybody else was kind of just like, get him in and get him out. Whereas Rudolf was super friendly, over the top. Couldn't have been nicer. And I wish I would have had my rig set up. It takes me a good 2 or 3 minutes to set up my rig. But, I was engaged in the conversation. And you'll hear how we started talking, because it was basically a continuation of the conversation that we started with. And then set up my gear, set up my rig, and got started. So. And you'll hear all of this on the following interview, because I did not want to edit it all. I want you guys to take this ride with me. And I'm just telling you this story right now so you know where I'm coming from. So I set my stuff up and we start talking. And as I'm doing the interview, it's always hard for me to enjoy the interview while we're doing it, because I'm always checking sound levels and I'm trying to think what the next question is, or if my guest brings up something interesting, I kind of put it in my mental mind to go back to it, because I don't ever have a list of questions. I just go in there for a conversation. That's why people enjoy doing my show, because it's not an interview. It's a chat. It's a conversation. So once I started talking with Rudolf, I'm just trying to think, how do I keep the ball rolling to keep him talking? And believe me, it wasn't hard. He was so great right off the bat. You'll hear it coming up. We just start going straight into it, laughing and joking and doing all these great, having all these great topics to talk about. So I'm getting, like, once I get to the 30-minute mark, then I know I'm going to be okay. Because then after that, it's a matter of, two, three, four more questions. Then I get to 45 minutes, and then I can stop if I have to. Problem is, I had heard kind of a door opening behind me, probably at about the 20-minute mark. But I never acknowledge, until someone tells me to stop, I'll just keep going, or until my guest stops. And Rudolf was having none of it. He kept going. So finally, the manager comes and sits down on the couch beside Rudolf, and he's kind of giving me the time signal. I'm like, I'm just motioning, like, two more questions or whatever it is. And Rudolf's talking. And finally, the tour manager comes in, and you'll hear this, and tells me to basically shut it off. He's got to go. But Rudolf was having a good time and basically said, well, you'll hear what he says. He had no problem extending the interview after the meet and greet. So Rudolf gets up and goes, and then I'm like, okay, well, thanks, Rudolf. I said, do you mind if I have a water? He said, have whatever you want. I'll be right back. He leaves, and the manager's waiting for me to leave Rudolf's room. Like, what am I going to steal his flying V or something? Like, okay, fine. So I leave the room. I go across the hall. First of all, I walk outside, and everybody's out there now, the Scorps, and including Matthias, who was so nice. I said, I'm Chris Jericho. You did my show before. And he's like, oh, I remember that interview. And we talked about this, and we talked about that. And super friendly, super nice. And then Mickey D, who was my old friend, who played with Motorhead for 25 years, whatever it was, and now has landed the temporary drum gig with the Scorpions. Their current drummer, their old drummer, whatever you want to say, is in rehab. So Mickey has the gig, and believe me, I don't think Mickey's ever going to have to worry about losing that gig, because he is amazing. He's such a great player. If you know him from Motorhead, his energy is crazy. His look is great. His drumming is great. And I'm really happy for him that he has that gig. So anyways, he left, and I went into his dressing room, since I wasn't allowed in Rudolph's, and watched Judge Judy, which I probably haven't watched in about 15 years, until Rudolf came back. That was probably 15, 20 minutes later, because they went to go to the meet and greet about 7:45. So they get back, and they're going on stage at 9. It gets back at about 8, and I go back into Rudolf's dressing room. I knock on the door, of course. Mr. Shankar, would you like to continue? He goes, of course, come on, sit down. So we continue, and you hear all this. And I'm like, I got it. And we go from 29 minutes all the way to 37 and a half minutes, and then their manager comes in again, and now he's being like really bitchy, like, you got to stop this now. And you'll hear what happens. So I had to stop it again. So I ended up finishing off with about a 37-minute interview, which wasn't as long as I would have liked, but it was still great. If it had an extra 20 minutes, it probably would have just been more of the same, more fun. So then Rudolf, he tells me he lives in Hanover, Germany. He wants to come to the next WWE show that we have, or the next Fozzy show we have. And I said, next time, maybe we can continue our conversation. He said, yeah, next time, the Gestapo won't be here to throw us out. So can't say more about Rudolf and how agreeable he was and how accommodating he was to make this happen. And I can't say more about the show itself. The Scorpions put on such a great show. So much energy, so much fun. Rudolph's 67 years old, and he looks like he's about 50 and moves like he's about 40. Inspiration to all. Definitely. When I'm 67, I hope to look as good as he does. But one of my favorite shows, and although they didn't play three of my favorite Scorpion songs, Bad Boys Running Wild, Tease Me, Please Me, and I'm Leaving You, they didn't play. And they didn't play Can't Live Without Me, Can't Live Without You either. But they did play Blackout, and they played Rock and Roll Band, they played The Zoo, and they played all the great songs. So great time with Rudolph Shankar. Excellent interview, lots of fun, lots of laughs, and a great show. So thank you to the Scorpions for everything, even though there has been some ups and downs. But that's showbiz, man. You just got to go with the flow and make it things as good as you can make it. And we did. You are going to love this interview with Rudolph Shankar from the Scorpions. But before we get our rock on, I want to tell you what I did right after I got off the plane in Las Vegas last week. I went straight to my hotel and did DDP yoga right on my phone. Pretty long flight from Tampa, probably about 7 hours total. So I wanted to stretch out and get loose. So I did a quick DDP yoga workout, and that's all I needed to get over that flight. I use the DDP yoga app on my phone all the time. And I've been doing a lot of DDP yoga lately, thanks to the DDP Yoga Now app. I don't have to lug around the DVDs or even a DVD player, since my Mac doesn't have one built in. And like I said, all the workouts are right on my phone. Okay. And Dallas has thought of everything with this app. He's got a version for iPhones, one for Android. You can even access exclusive live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center, as well as cooking shows. You can learn healthier ways to make your food. Very, very important way to lose weight, stay in shape. Anyways, Dallas has nutrition guides and a chart to track your progress. You can earn points on the app and redeem them for rewards, DDP Yoga merch. And again, it's all on your phone, so you can do it anywhere. Dallas has made it so easy for you. And how's this for a deal? DDP is hooking you guys up. If you buy the DDP Yoga program at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, you'll get 3 free months of the app. So change your life with DDP Yoga and take advantage of this great offer. Buy the DDP Yoga program now at ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get 3 free months of the app with your Parachus. Get started today at ddpyoga.com. Get in the best shape of your life and do it today.
Talk is Jericho.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
We're all set. Yeah, we're actually okay. Here in the private dress room of Rudolph Shankar, and I walk in and you're in full rock and roll regalia, just as I expected you would be.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I was growing up in this kind of feeling, and always when I tried to change my clothes, I felt somehow wrong dressed. So, and especially in the 90s, you know, when the grunge and alternative came, I was thinking, no. I remember it was, I think, 62 or 61. My father and me, we went to Nuremberg because he wanted to show me places where he was start working after the war. And then we were window shopping, and I was passing a window, and there was this black leather pants, but was not real leather in these days.
Right.
And in the sign in the back of the pants where normally Levi's is written, is
Levi's.
Yeah, that's right. Levi's, right.
Yeah.
So there was Elvis Twist. And I said to my father, I want to have this pants. And he bought it for me. And that was the beginning of the rock and roll days. But not because I was looking only the pants as good, because I was always a fan of Elvis Presley. In this case, I feel okay when I'm relaxing with my wife and going somewhere on vacation. I dress a little bit different. I don't want to be, you know, I want to have my private days also, private time. But when I'm coming here, especially Las Vegas, it's a place, you know, you feel energy where you want to be dressed in the right way.
And that is part of rock and roll. You mentioned the grunge era. Like for me, it's show business. You have to look different from the people in the audience when you're on stage, because you're like a superhero on stage.
Yeah, exactly. And also you have to look different when you be in your private life, even. You know, and I was always dressed in this way. I know when I was still in school, I want to get money from my mother to buy me other clothes than other people have. Mm-hmm. She said, no. And then I was going in the holidays. I went and tried to make money in places where they offer me a job. Mm-hmm. So because I want to have money to buy my clothes I want to have. So I think the Elvis Presley put it together with the right clothes and the music. Mm-hmm. The Beatles did, the Rolling Stones did. It's a part of rock and roll. It's a part of music. It's a part of lifestyle. Rock and roll, it's not only a music, it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's a revolution, it's a rebellion. Mm. Still, there are so many people that are starting and going into this music, and they think very important is to play very fast and impress people with playing. No, it's the mixture out of playing music, and sometimes unperfect music is better than the perfect music, because the unperfect music, where the feeling overtakes, is the important thing.
That's the human element.
Exactly.
You know, because now if you make a record, there's so many ways to just make everything perfect, but it's too perfect.
Exactly. Right? So, and perfect is boring. Mm.
Yes. You know, you mentioned something, because I always think, okay, who the greatest rhythm guitar players in rock and roll? And for me, it's Malcolm Young, it's James Hetfield, it's Rudolf Shankar. You're always...
And also the ZZ Top guy.
Oh, Billy Gibbons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to me, because you're thinking of bands that have a two-guitar lineup, for example, you always play the greatest rhythms. Even during the solos, there's little chord changes and stuff. You don't do a lot of guitar solos, but the ones that you do are very nice. But did you focus on that when you were a kid? You say, I want to be a rhythm guitar player?
No, it came actually by finding out by myself what I can do in music, what can bring the best out of it. I like to be a back. I always try to an example to the music, the band, like a soccer team. Mm-hmm. I'm the Beckenbauer of the band, playing in the middle, backing up the backfield, mm-hmm, and giving the balls to Matthias and Klaus,
right,
can shoot the goals, but I want to back up. And Pavel, it's the guy behind me, and then the goalkeeper is a drummer. Mm-hmm. So in this case, for me, it came naturally. It was not that I want to play immediately. Yeah, I want to be a solo guitar player. So normally bands broke up because they couldn't make decisions who's playing the solo. You
know, right.
This bullshit. So, and I always, for me, was important to have the right mixture, the right band, mm-hmm, be good musicians, of course, but also people I can build a friendship with. And you know, if you be flexible enough, and you looking for the goal and for the vision, you know, then everything goes in the right direction. So in this case, for me, was rhythm guitar. And there was another thing which was important. I was always looking for better guitar players like me. That was interesting. Normally, you try to get people that are not as good that you can be the star. No,
right.
I want to have even better musicians than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Ole John Ross, the guitar player who played for us a long time, and he was showing me always, sometimes I was trying finger exercises and stuff like this, and said, Rudolf, you know, you are a great guitar player, a rhythm guitar player. Better be a great rhythm guitar player instead of a normal average solo guitar player. Mm-hmm. So that's a great situation. Why I play sometimes solo is because it was a situation that our producer, when I came with an idea like Still Loving You, the solo I played maybe always somewhere, or I played
Big
Holiday
Nights,
or Big City Nights, then our Dieter Dirks, Rudolf, that's good. That's great. And nobody else came up with a better idea. And I said, mm-hmm, okay, great. I play it. Mm-hmm. But it's not a big deal. It's sometimes good to be and play a solo. That's great. But I'm not... rhythm guitar playing, it's very good also for composing. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes people, it's only a few guitar players who are very good composers and very good lead guitar players. Because the most lead guitar players, they're rehearsing very much the scales and everything, and they have, they're so deep in this rehearsing that they're not open-minded enough to get creative ideas. So in this case, I didn't overwork myself. I was always waiting until a great idea came, and then I was sneaking in and grabbed this past moment of time and put it on tape.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking, like, while you were talking, I wonder who your influences were as a guitar player. But the thing is, Scorpions have been around for 50 years, which is longer than every other band I can think of besides the Stones. And I guess maybe the Who probably started
Who
as well.
And Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, too.
And now Pink Floyd.
Okay, but Pink Floyd together again? It's just Roger Waters,
no,
right?
No, okay, that's right.
Right?
Wrong. Yes, yes.
So it's actually, like, and Beach Boys, there's so many rotating members, and it's all based around the vocal. But for actually musicianship bands, it's the Stones, it's the Who, and it's the Scorpions.
Exactly, yeah.
Which, it blows
my mind. I mentioned this to, not this one, what you said. I said, because 1.5 years ago, I saw the, I had the possibility to see the Stones and the Aerosmiths on one weekend in Berlin. Uh-huh. Aerosmiths were playing on Saturday in the O2 in Berlin, and on Sunday in the Waldbühne was playing the Stones. And when Aerosmith finished the concert, we went to their hotel and had a little sitting together like musicians do. And then I said to the guys, I said, hey, we're celebrating next year 50 years of Scorpions. Said, oh, great, congratulations. We celebrate 40 years, but in the same formation. And that's a fantastic thing from the Aerosmith.
Yes. And you mentioned ZZ Top as well.
Yes.
Original lineup.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare to have that original
lineup.
Very
rare,
lineup,
yeah,
right? But you guys have had, the three of you guys, at least
exactly.
Matias since, I think, 79 or so.
78. Yes, exactly.
So the core of your band now has been together for 35 years or so.
Yeah.
Right? Have you heard about this concert that they're doing, the Stones, Dylan, McCartney, Neil Young, Roger Waters, and The Who? Did you hear about this?
Was this in the desert?
Yes, in the desert.
I heard about it.
I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, that what a show that would be to see.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's especially when you see how many people dying in rock and roll now, you know, you have to take these possibilities and the situation. It's not for a long time that you can see this kind of music and life and stuff like that. And that's a fantastic idea that these people come in together and say, let's play together and celebrate again the long live of rock and roll.
I was thinking they should do that for heavy metal.
Yeah, that's
right.
A good idea. I think maybe somebody will come up, you know, like I remember Us Festival was also something kind of the first time really heavy metal, you know. There was 3 days. One was, I don't know what the first day was
New Wave Day.
And yes, then was heavy metal kind, or heavy rock kind. And then was kind of new guys more.
Yeah, like pop music or something.
Yeah, Bono and... but it was so fantastic to see the 320,000 people and all these bands playing there was great.
Tell us a little bit about that day, because I've seen that. I went in Japan. Have you ever been to Ares in Tokyo? It's a place that has all these bootlegs. It's bootlegs upon bootlegs, and there's the whole Us Festival Scorpions set is there.
Yeah. I know that.
You know the place?
I don't know the place, but I know that they're released now, the whole thing, US Priest, Scorpions, and I know, yeah.
But you guys went on before Van Halen, but you blew them out of the water. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, really, we were so poisoning in with ourselves to really, because we liked Van Halen, actually, no question about this. But of course, in these days, we were still a band. We tried to make everything possible to be better than the other guys. So in this case, we found this idea with the jets going over the thing, where even Van Halen, they found out, and that was killing the signal of the walkie-talkie who gave the instruction for the firework. You know, when the speaker said, "Hey, welcome the scorpions," and somehow he started in the wrong point, and the firewall came up. He nearly was burnt.
Oh wow!
But anyway, that was a great thing, and also on stage we were completely full of power, and it was fantastic. I don't know whether we blow them on stage, but everybody told us, but we felt very good. This was, I think, after we had the number one song in radio in 82 with No One Like You, it was the great bridge to Love It First Sting, mm-hmm. when we came with Rock You Like a Hurricane, Big City Nights, and Still Love You. It was the fantastic, perfect way to go up to the next level.
Right, and it was huge, because I mean, because you guys, your stage presence was always so great, but that show especially, just going crazy with the pyramid, you went backwards over the stage.
You know everything, yeah.
I told you, it's one of my favorite gigs. Yeah. I'm not just saying this. Because I remember, like, how the hell did he bend over with your bridge, and then you put your V, and you put your neck between your V, and it's just
I know, it was some crazy shit.
Where did you get the inspiration to have that type of
I tell you one thing, it came on stage. You know, if you go on stage and you want to really give the best to the audience, that was our situation. We're coming from Germany. We noticed in the first place that nobody believes that rock and roll can come from Germany, because there was more classical Schlager or whatever. So, and we, when we went to foreign countries, of course, we went there to convince the people here. This, and we were not, we gave 100%, we gave 150. So, and that was the situation, that we started maybe with a few people seeing us, and then next time we came back, we had already, instead of 250 people, we had already 1,500. So this was the situation. And by playing live, and when you connected in the band, and very much everybody wants to have the same thing. We were driving in one car, of course the gear was a different kind, and we were talking about some effects, and we were talking about what was wrong on the last show, what can be better on the next one. It was somehow the band was together, glued together, and when you start playing then, and the music inspires you, and you get the energy from the audience, you get inspired, and you're doing something where you're going, hey, let's do this next time again.
Yeah.
So this was the way.
How did you come up with the idea for the pyramid? Because I had never seen that before.
That was the idea of actually the sister of Matthias. I remember we were playing in Paris on the Blackout tour, and we got our gold album for Blackout, and there was the promoter, and so, and we got the our albums and stuff. And then Matthias came and said, "You know, I have an idea. My sister told me about doing. Why are you not guys doing a pyramid?" So three guys, and we tried already there and said, "Okay, that looks good. Let's do it." Yeah. And we did it. And from this point, we know the people how they reacted, and then we extended it in 88 to the 5-1.
Oh, there's a 5-man pyramid at the end of the show?
Of course. I think in Russia, when we played on this Music Peace Festival, that's a 5-1.
Another classic show. That was with a huge lineup. Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, Ozzy, Scorpions.
Yes.
I'm sure that was a pretty wild...
this was on plane going with a magic bus, going from America to London. We came in the plane, and from there to Moscow. Oh, that was rock and roll. Music Peace Festival, it called. And music was there. Peace was there. But the reason why this was happening was Doc McGee had to do something because of his problem with the boat and, you know, all the stuff. And he said, okay, I do an anti-drug festival in Russia. So here we are. So anyway, that was fantastic. It was fantastic, and it was really two nights in front of 110,000 crazy Russians, including the army. I have still a collection of hats and army jackets and stuff like this in my house. It was great to see that Russia already liked rock and roll very much, but this was always this border, this wall, and so. And when the wall came down, there were no way to ignore rock and roll.
And you guys have always had such a worldwide presence. Like, I think the Scorpions, every country, it seems like you always have such great fans in Russia, in Poland, all these Dubai, all these places you go.
Yeah, because the point was for us that we wanted to. First of all, going into foreign country, we wanted to show the people that we here is a new generation growing up in Germany. They're not coming with tanks and making war. They're coming with guitars, playing music, and giving love. And that was our message. So, and we wanted to play everywhere where electricity is. So in this case, okay, we played half a year or even more in America, but also we said when we had a lower offer in Thailand or in Malaysia or in Korea or whatever country in Asia or in the Eastern Europe, we played there first. We said, okay, let's play for the fans. Lebanon, in all these places where other people, maybe from America, were afraid to go there because there was always here the kind of thing, oh, careful, and you know, there's this. We didn't care. We played in Israel, we played everywhere, and this message was still in. And our music also had this feeling. Of course, the rockers were different, but also the slow numbers there gave this feeling of, like, let's say, Wind of Change, the soundtrack of the most peaceful revolution on earth. All this came out because we wanted to play also already in the 80s when we were big, also in America, in Canada, in Europe. We said, okay, we want to play in Thailand, we want to play. And this was great in the 90s because when grunge and alternative came, we didn't have to say, oh, can we play also? No, we played in Asia and Russia in big stadiums.
Still playing all the big crowds.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we still the band or the people from foreign country who sold the most albums ever in Thailand. That is us, 20 times platinum. So in in Indonesia, 10 times platinum, and all these kind of places. So they could play the grunge and alternative, they could play in America. Right. Okay, we played also America still because we still had our crowd because of classic rock. The radio format is always keeps the guys in form, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So in this case, there was always good to play also in America and stuff. But the radio, the whole press ignored this metal bands, classic hard rock bands. But anyway, so that's the reason why we are known everywhere in the world.
How was that for you when the wall came down? You mentioned Winds of Change. You guys played there, but also being from Germany.
I mean, I think actually I already mentioned in 82 to the band, I said, we have to play in Russia. Everybody said, you are crazy. Why are we playing in Russia? There's no crowd, there's no fans, and there's no record company and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the message, you know, this kind of thing came closer to closer when we did the Monster of Rock headlining in Europe on the bill, Bon Jovi, Ozzy Osbourne, and my brother, and Def Leppard.
Right,
Def Leppard. So we played in Hungary. I don't know who played in Hungary. There was places in Europe where we had all these bands in it, and then there was another places, I think maybe in the eastern part, there was only my brother, Doro, Scorpions, and I don't know who else. So we spoke to the promoter, Laszlo was his name. We said, you know, we want to, where's the Iron Curtain? The Iron Curtain? We don't have the Iron Curtain anymore. We already making for 2 or 3 years already business with the Western world. So said, maybe because we want to play in Russia. His guy said, no problem, guys. Finish your album. That was the album Savage Amusement. And I take care. And he did. Only one change was planned 5 shows in Moscow and 5 shows in Leningrad. But then, because of the 1st of May parade in Russia, they were afraid, there were riots and stuff like this. I said, okay, we cancel for you guys in Moscow. We give you 10 shows in Leningrad. We were close to canceling the whole thing because we said, no, only Leningrad, boring. So bad. Then we said, okay, because everything was set up already, we do it. Mm. It was good because all the fans came from all over Russia and we had 10 shows by 11,000 people, 15,000 people every night in the concert. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning also for us to notice what is happening in Russia. What is happening? We had this band called Gorky Park, was our support band.
Russian band.
We became friends and noticed the mentality of the Russians, which was fantastic. 1 year later, the Music Peace Festival, which was fantastic too, because we could see the difference. 1 year already was a big difference. Dan Klaus came up with this fantastic song, Wind of Change, which is a song of hope. Then the song was composed already, and then I think half a year later, the wall came down. Then our album, A Crazy World, came. I told Klaus, it would be great for the Russians to maybe sing the song Wind of Change in Russian. He was not so convinced in the first place because he said, what do you want? I mean, how can it sound like when I do it? I said, maybe we can get it. We had the first translation was not good, which we then he did a Spanish one. But then we found the right translation.
To sing in Russian?
Yeah, in Russian. Wow. So we did it, and it was released in Russia. And yeah, Gorbachev heard about it, invited us to the Kremlin, the first ever rock band until now, I think, who was met in president in Russia and playing a song in the Kremlin, which was fantastic, and talking to Mr. Gorbachev for 45 minutes about the world and about everything. And, you know, it was fantastic, and it was really also for us a fantastic signal that, you know, what people thinking, the politicians not caring, maybe in America more, but in the Eastern world, no, they care. And that you could see with Gorbachev, and he was a fantastic guy. We still friends because we often met in either in TV shows in Russia or when he was celebrating his 80th birthday. So it was a friendship, and his family is very big, you know. We know part of the family and stuff. So that's great. That's what his music is all about. Building friendship, making things happening where maybe politicians have no idea to go forward, but musicians, music, that's what we found out. Crossing borders, even crossing a religion, we coming there, the fans are in it. Don't care where we coming from, the music, it's happening.
Just got to tell you a couple of personal stories. So I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, and I went to the Love It.
Yeah, that is the coldest corner.
Portage in Maine.
The coldest corner.
Portage in Maine.
Yeah.
So I bought the Love It First Thing t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I wore it to school the next day, and my teacher made me go home and change my shirt because it had that album cover, which now seems so tame, but at the time, it was so controversial.
Exactly.
You know, but you guys always had that with your album covers at that time frame.
Yeah, because sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So sex is a part of rock and roll, and sex is not nothing bad. I mean, as you can see now, what was bad in the 80s, there's like people laughing about it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it has to be a sex appeal, which is not dirty. It's arty. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try to do always. We put sex in, but in a way tasty way. Not in the you know, the bubblegum is also rock and roll fun kind of thing,
the
you know.
On the
that was actually the Rolls Royce of Elton John, where the
Elton John's Rolls Royce.
And we Helen Wein was a different situation, was crazy rock and roll. That was his self-portrayal. So we always thought, when we already working hard in the studio to try to give the fans the best we can give, musical-wise, we also want to put the albums, the vinyl, not in toilet paper. We want to give them also something to look at, to think about it and stuff. That was for us important.
Yeah, well, it worked because, like you said, as a kid, you say, oh, did you see this Love Drive cover?
Yeah.
Everyone's got to check it out and buy it and look at it, you know?
Yes, exactly. It was real.
And also, too, when I first started wrestling, I used Tease Me, Please Me as my theme song.
Great, great. Yeah. And you know, Mickey Rourke in his film, he used an anamagnetism.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The same thing.
Yes.
You always had that vibe. Yeah. I was watching a movie when I was flying here. It was this like teen comedy thing. It was called Scouts Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, about a zombie attack.
Yeah.
And Rock You Like a Hurricane is right in the middle of the big fight scene.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is everywhere now.
Of course. Yeah, that's just, I mean, that is a classic. I always say the Scorpion standing on 3 feet. Love, peace, and rock and roll. Love stands for Still Loving You, peace for Winter of Change, and rock and roll for Rock You Like a Hurricane.
That's great, right? And those are your three biggest dudes. Just, I know you have to wrap up soon, just a couple more questions. How in the 80s, only guy in heavy metal that had a mustache.
Yeah.
And you made it work.
Yeah, I right? mean, you know, somehow, you know, if you know what you want,
mm-hmm.
you can bring milk to the, what called, I don't know, whatever. You can do what you want. If you, mm-hmm. you can do it. And that's important, you know.
Right. Was it weird when you shaved it off?
Of course, yes. Yeah, but the time, it's time always. You know,
there's
always a certain time where you can do things and then you get bored and you think you want to have a new kind of way. Especially my hair is very thin. That's the reason why I then changed my hair to blonde and short. And you know who was responsible for that? A woman from New York who also was changing the haircut from Bon Jovi and also for James Hetfield. So here we are.
Do you have two more minutes? Oh.
We have to, because we've got a meet and greet to do.
Meet and greet? Okay.
Okay, yeah,
okay, we can do it after maybe 3-2. Look for 3 or 4 another questions. And when I come from meet and greet, we can do it.
Great.
Okay?
Great, great. I only need another 10 minutes and I can have my show.
If
that's, is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Every minute.
Yes, you had to leave. You had two guys, your tour manager and your manager, had to drag you away.
And the police.
With the bobby clubs. Yeah. They were hitting me to tell me to stop.
Exactly.
It was good. So the meet and greet is still very much a part of your show every night?
I mean, you know, the people, they are so long time with the Scorpions in their life. And somehow somebody had an idea, it's not come from us, but to do this kind of meet and greet, that people who maybe not want to bugger the band, they want to smoothly go in, have great places, and so, and that was the situation in America. In Europe, we don't have this kind of thing. And when we did the American tour, they asked us, we said, of course, for our fans,
right,
we're doing it, and mostly of them, they are very nice, and they were waiting for that over 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's great that they have now the feeling, oh, fantastic, we were there, it was a special kind of concert, and we were meet and greet part of it, and so in this case, it's always new ideas coming in and making rock and roll still available and really also not boring.
Mm-hmm.
Always something new comes in, and that's great.
Do you see a lot of, we talked earlier about how you've been around for 50 years. Do you see now a lot of parents bringing their children, three generations, grandparents, parents?
That's fantastic. That's the reason when we announced the farewell tour, and then after the Munich concert in December 2012, we want to stop, and then MTV came up with the offer of making MTV Unplugged. We said okay, because this project we always wanted to do in the 80s, but we had no time because we were traveling around, what we talked about before, to play in different countries and stuff. So, and then by finding out 50 years of rock and roll, the book, my mother did the book when I started a band in 1965. She did a book because my father gave me money to buy the equipment, and my mother said, you have to pay the money back, at least the half. Half was pocket money for us, the other half for my father. So, and this book she did was done in 65. So in this case...
Like a scrapbook or something like this?
No, the book, money, you know, where she put in the money, and then she was splitting, and then also for equipment, other equipment,
okay,
for cables and microphones were broken down and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in this case, I found out about the 50 years. So, but on the farewell tour, we noticed already how many young fans we have. We have 80% of our Facebook fans, we have around, I think, 8 million in the moment, are between 16 and 28 years old.
That's incredible.
So, and that's fantastic. And that's also the point when we really did a farewell tour. And then later on also see all these young kids in front. So then we said, yeah, I mean, for this... kids, we are still healthy, we can do it, the chemistry is great, everything is fine. Yeah, let's go forward and let's do really as much we can do, because the new generation, they're coming with three generation, and this music, it's so good that we can't let this music die. So the people, the fans are getting younger, the old fans still in there, the fathers with the kids coming, and that's great. And that makes this music very powerful.
Well, and it's another thing too, like you're talking about, you know, for me, like growing up with the Scorpions since I was born in 1970, so I discovered Scorpions in probably 81 and every album since. So you almost become like you're a part of my family, and you know what I mean, like part of my life.
Yeah,
which is what music does.
Soundtrack of your life.
Exactly, the soundtrack of my life. Like, you know, Rudolph Shankar, I can think of all the different magazine covers and, you know, all the different, like, Rudolph Shankar face where you're always looking so crazy. And I mean, it must be kind of cool for you now, 50 years later, to sit back and go, wow, we really made a difference in so many people's lives.
Yep, 100%. That's actually the point when you coming out of the party days in the 80s, in the 90s, you had to maybe put yourself into a new balance, and then coming back, always things going in circles with a twist coming back. So you appreciate very much now by looking back and now seeing all these people they appreciate very much the music, and they're sad that's our soundtrack of our life. It's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, in this case, I can thank you that I was able to do this kind of living.
Well, and also always looking like you're having such a great time, because that's infectious to the crowd.
100%. And that's the situation what many people or many bands did wrong. They became successful, and then the egos were growing like crazy, and then they didn't fit in the room anymore. So that's terrible. And that very good chemistries were getting destroyed by their egos. And I think that's bad. And but anyway, you can't do anything. You know, everybody has his way. What with us as Scorpions coming from Germany and really going the hard way, and management wasn't allowed in Germany in the 70s and 60s. I had to do this management.
Oh, really?
I learned a lot.
Management
yes.
wasn't allowed?
No, for really? My government. Yeah, because it was not allowed. So in this case, I learned a lot from a business. I learned a lot about what is important by being in a band. So, and then when people came to me and said, you are a boss of this band, I said, no, we have no boss. We are a band. So in this case, everybody was forced to give the best into the band, you know.
Right.
If you make a big shadow, the other ones can't act, actually. So if you give everybody his place, like in the soccer team, which I explained before, so then everybody has fun in their place. And you have to give everybody the place and space. So, and then it's this touring, and everything is fun. You know, we're living in the best hotels. We're having the best people working for us. We, everything, it's in perfect shape because we're not putting our egos too much up front. And that's a very important point, even when we could do that. Mm-hmm. But this is always good, and we want to be friends, and we want to give the people this feeling. Right. They're friends on stage, and they're playing for us. And that's an important point.
Last question. What's your favorite Scorpion song, if you had to pick one?
Rock It Like a Hurricane.
That's the best one, right?
Yeah. I don't know. The best one, I can't say, but from my feeling, the most effective one.
Mm-hmm. That is world renowned forever. Yeah, and we're getting cut off again.
Okay, have a good one.
Thank you, best. Rudolph. Yeah, it's okay. Great to talk to you, man. The police are outside. All right, you heard Rudolph say it. The Scorpions have no plans to stop touring or slow down anytime soon, and I hope not. They are having a great time on the road, and the show is phenomenal. Klaus has still got it, sounding better than ever, and Rudolph is the man. Great guitar player and a funny dude, man. I love when he was laughing. The manager, the tour manager, and the police kicked us out. Scorpions got a lot of days left. Go on Facebook and search out Scorpions. And let me mention this one more time because it's such a great cause and so important. Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze have started a GoFundMe page for the victims of the Alberta fires in Fort McMurray. They're trying to raise $100,000 and they're over halfway there. So help out if you can. These people have lost everything, their homes, their belongings, their clothes, everything. Every dollar helps. You can get to the GoFundMe page through Kevin Owens' Twitter account. He's at Fight Owens Fight, and Tyler Breeze's Twitter at Gorgeous3Ms. Go help him out and help out, go help out the people in Fort McMurray, Alberta, who have lost everything. I've been up there. It's beautiful country, and we give all our best to all the fine people in Fort McMurray. I donated money. Please, you do the same. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for listening to Talk is Jericho, and thank you for supporting all the great sponsors of this podcast, including the one who's been here since episode one, the OG sponsor, Amazon. Please use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links whenever you do any online shopping. Easiest way to support this show. All my Amazon links at podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, UK, Canada, A. Every time you use them links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage of the show, help us cover production costs. You can buy just about anything you want on Amazon. And don't forget, if you buy something, post a picture at Talk is Jericho on the Twitter, and you can become an Amazon Talk is Jericho warrior, a Talk is Jericho Amazon warrior, whatever you want to say. Send me the picture. I will post it on the Twitter and follow you as well. So go to podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page and find all the great sponsors on there, including ddpyoga.com/Jericho and the DDP Yoga Now app. Buy the workout at ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. Don't forget, also go to plated.com/Jericho. Sign up and get a free dinner for two in your first box. This is tasty, tasty food. And also don't forget to hit that subscribe button at iTunes if you haven't already. That way you won't miss any of the incredible conversations and stories with the guests on this show, like today with Rudolph Shankar. Last week, the Team Tiger Awesome summer movie preview was hilarious. Dr. Luther Lenny St. Clair was awesome. So many great shows. Nick Swardson. Funny, funny stuff. So go have a laugh with all those previous shows. And don't forget to go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment or two. I really do read the comments. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for listening. And keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And remember, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And we'll see you on Friday for my guest, who in my opinion is the funniest cast member in Saturday Night Live history. I'm talking about Dana Carvey. And he's here along with a whole host of his closest friends, George Bush, Dennis Miller, Keith Richards, Johnny Carson, Garth Algar from Wayne's World, It Makes Me Feel Funny in Gym Class, and of course, the Beatles. Every member of the Beatles. Dana Carvey's putting on a comedy clinic right here on Talk is Jericho, and you will have a front row seat. Don't you dare miss it. And if you do, you're going to be angry. So don't miss it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Yeah, boy. See you on Friday.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.